Today's program is brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Erica Wyatt, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and welcome to Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher. I'm also known as the Food Healer. Welcome to the show. Today, I'll be speaking with animal communicator and author Marta Williams and veterinarian Dr. Sue Chan all about some regulations that are happening in California regarding complementary healing modalities for animals. If you've got furry friends, you're really going to want to stay tuned. So let's just get started. Hi, Marta. Are you there?
Hi, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can totally hear you. You sound great. Thank you so much for taking some time to talk to me about this. I'm really, really interested in what you and Sue are going to tell us because I've done a lot of research on this, and short of your website, I haven't found a lot.
Yeah. Thank you for inviting us.
Oh, you're so welcome. And I'm just, let's get this going. I'm very excited. So, Sue, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you again for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it. I know, especially as a vet, you have a really busy schedule. So welcome, and thank you both very, very much.
You're very welcome.
So my first question is going to be for Marta. What is going on in California with the California Veterinary Medical Board? Like, what is this all about?
Well, a few years ago, the California Veterinary Medical Board, which is an appointed board, made it illegal for people, practitioners, to do acupuncture, chiropractic, or dental procedures unless they worked in a vet office or they hired a vet to come with them in the field to do those procedures.
Wow.
Like an equine vet would has to bring a equine dental person has to bring a vet along.
Oh, wow.
And they will get fined, sanctioned, and even have jail time if they don't comply. And I actually know people who have had actions taken against them. The current situation is that the California Vet Board now has proposed language that would be more inclusive, and actually Sue's going to talk about this, but it could actually include all kinds of animal care and make it illegal, not just if it's supervised, but if there's not a veterinarian performing it. In other words,
oh, wow.
A licensed veterinarian could perform these animal care activities, and Sue's going to go into what they are, but quite literally it's just about anything. The proposed language has not been solidified, but a version of it in September said the use of physical, chemical, or other thermomagnetic biofeedback, water therapy, therapeutic massage, manual therapy, exercise for prevention or cure of or relief, and it could include anything including evaluation, treatment,
wow,
instruction, and consultation. And that's just about everything in the universe right there.
It really is.
And anything that comes into that category or whatever their final definition of animal rehab is would be considered illegal if not done by a veterinarian.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's not going to help me out either because I do complementary therapies as well. This is terrible, and it doesn't – ugh, this is awful. Sue, what other modalities are we talking about? And can you give us an example of what is under fire, really?
Okay. Well, actually, she pretty much covered it.
Okay.
You know, swim therapy, massage therapy, lasers, use of magnets, exercise therapy includes. And you know, by the way they've defined it, it could include what farriers, groomers, and trainers do for their clients.
Wow!
Because they've already. It's not just treatment; it's also prevention. So you can't advise them how to do things, or you know, even as a consult. They've already clamped down on the art of acupuncture, artificial insemination, nutritional counseling, chiropractic medicine, and teeth scaling by groomers and the dental for equine dentistry, too.
Wow.
And I too know people who've gotten in fined thousands of dollars and been threatened with all sorts of jail time and things like that.
Unbelievable. I mean, I wasn't expecting to hear from you guys. I figured there'd be threats and stuff, but I'm amazed that they're so proactive on this.
Well, the most bizarre thing is they actually do stings. They don't even warn these people with letters. They just go out and do a sting, and then they'll do all their enforcement activities.
Wow. And I mean, for me, this breaks my heart because I work in animal nutrition and I have for a really long time. And, you know, in terms of veterinary medicine, you know, I can't do surgery. I can't do all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, while you doctors are learning all that kind of thing, and, you know, I was able to learn all of this other stuff and I could work in a vet's office at the time in order to work with them regarding nutritional healing. But now that's going to be illegal too.
Like, they couldn't enforce it. All they'd have to do is decide to name it as in the regulations, and then they can go after people.
Yeah. They don't have to go to the legislature to get this approved, and they don't have to go to the voters.
Wow.
They just say
it's
it, and it's
in
so.
In meetings that are supposed to be public, but how many people even know about the meetings?
Yeah, nobody knows about this.
Nobody knows about this. I mean, like, nobody knows about this. I actually contacted a couple of vets around the country that I'm friends with, and they were all like, one person had heard about it, but everyone else was like, I don't know what you're discussing. And that scares the hell out of me because, you know, I mean, even like an animal, like an equine dentist, for example, for anyone that hasn't ever had horses or worked with them, I mean, this is a guy who studied for years. He comes to the barn. He has all his tools. He does this. You know, he's trained. Like, he isn't some guy who read this in a book. You know, he actually has training under his belt. And for him to have to bring a veterinarian with him, that's going to be a fortune. It's going to cost more. It's going to be more time. I don't know if it's going to be helpful for veterinarians because they're going to wind up doing a lot of procedures that weren't normally done or losing the ability to have those procedures done in their practices.
It's already required in California. We've already lost the access to the equine dentist and the dentist anesthesia-free dentistry on dogs and cats.
Wow.
You know, and now they want to take all the rest of it. So what we're looking at
is
okay. Let's. What's wrong with this picture? Let's.
How to do equine dentistry and developed all the techniques mm-hmm. was fined and sanctioned and threatened by the vet board,
even though
he had veterinarians working with him. All the time.
You're talking about a case, Sue?
Yes. It actually happened.
Wow.
Yeah, and it was an equine. I didn't quite hear what you said.
Yeah, that's the one that.
Can you restate
it? Taught all the veterinarians how to do this work.
Unreal. Really unreal.
It's an equine dentist who taught veterinarians how to do equine dentistry, and then
he got
harassed by the vet board?
Oh, yeah. He got shut down.
Oh,
he had to go back and get his RVT just to get them off his back.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah.
And so, Sue, what do you think started this? Like, was there a specific incident that just kind of pushed this whole thing along?
Well, the most recent one, I understand, was a case where a dog was doing hydrotherapy. You know, it was like treadmill work on water. Using water, and he had a heart attack. And so that's their rationale for coming down on hydrotherapy as one of the animal rehabs to go after. But, you know, a dog could have a heart attack just walking down the street.
Yeah.
You know, it could die in a vet's office from a heart attack. I don't understand how they can. But they use these sort of crazy cases as justification. It's just any excuse. They don't even have data.
Data
on the cases. They refuse to give it to us, and they even admit they don't even track the cases. So it's all anecdotal. It may be here and there. They don't take into account that there's a lot of animals that die in veterinary care due to accidents and misdiagnoses all the time. It happens all the time.
Yep.
And malpractice.
Yep.
And malpractice.
But they say the reason they have to do this, Celia, is because they have to protect us from our bad judgment.
Oh, come on.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say. Animals are in danger, and if we let you decide who you want to take your animals to, and it's not a veterinarian, then the animals will be in danger, and we have to protect you from that.
That's insane.
I know.
Oh my God. You knocked me speechless. Like, I just don't even see the logic in this.
Well, that's because it's not a logical.
Seriously, I mean, it's far from a laughing matter. It's just, oh my God, this is unreal. All right, so Sue, as we know, very few vets are able to study alternative methods. So ultimately, this could wipe out, like, every alternative practitioner out there. Like, what would be the point of that?
Well, it would give the, you know, there's some vets who do learn these techniques. And so even though they might not be great at it, they've learned it, and so they can hang the shingle.
God.
And even vets who don't have training can go ahead and say, I do it, because they have a vet license.
Mm-hmm.
And so they might not be the best at it, but, hey, they can do it legally because they're a vet, and supposedly vets know everything.
Exactly. I mean, here's my question for you. As a vet, okay, I'm gonna make it a small animal practice because that's what I'm more familiar with, is like dog and cat and that kind of thing.
Okay.
I mean, at the clinic that I worked at, we had vet techs that were trained to do dentals, as in every clinic, you know? And so
right.
Doing these dentals and stuff was a big part of our bread and butter and needed, you know? And so now all I can see is, like, if you wind up having to do all your dentals in a small clinic, you're not going to have time to see any other clients.
Right.
So, like, what happens with that?
They're saying that the vet techs can mm-hmm. do it under vet supervision, but it cannot be done outside of a vet clinic, and it can't be done by lay people. It has to either be done by the veterinarian or his or her staff.
So now let's say you have a horse. So does that mean that you have to ship your horse to the vet's practice in order to do this, so the vets can't do house calls anymore?
Oh, they can do house calls.
Okay.
Like, let's say you were doing massage.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say they make massage illegal. You either have to have the vet come to you, and only the vet could do massage, mm. nobody else, or you take your horse to the vet to get massage.
Okay.
So how expensive do you think that's going to get?
Oh, my God. I mean, I have a friend who's a horse masseuse, and she makes $150 an hour now. I mean, a vet's going to be easily $400 or $500.
Right.
And
well,
it's going to kill
the
all
the
therapists.
The thing about the equine dentistry, too, is the vets... there are some equine dentists who are practicing, and they bring a vet along with them,
mm-hmm.
And the vets have to be present legally, and vets will admit that they don't know anything about equine dentistry anyway, but
oh,
they have to be there.
Great.
And so the equine dentists have to charge extra.
Yeah, totally.
Have a babysitter.
Oh, my God.
Who really doesn't know what they're doing.
A lot extra. Like $100 just to have them there.
So this could be a great position for vets that are really, really horrible and that can't get hired because they're going to need them in order to just follow people around and not
oh, yeah.
know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Oh, this sounds so promising.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I just want to add something. There was an analysis done by the vet board of the potential impacts of this, and basically they said, oh, no impact. The only thing that might happen is some vets and vet techs and vet staff might get more work, but there won't be any impact on the California economy. There won't be any impact on any practitioners. You know, they might have to find some way to do something else. What?
That's such a crock.
How many millions of people in California do this work?
Totally.
Alternative and complementary, and we're just supposed to go, you know, go twiddle our thumbs to make money? Come on.
No, and that scares the hell out of me because, I mean, if they're going after California, you guys are so on top of this regarding the entire country and alternative modalities, especially for animals, that, like, if you guys get screwed, the rest of the country is dead.
Well, I hate to tell you, but the rest of the country is dead already.
Oh,
they've
really?
Already done this to a whole lot of states.
So, like, where else is this happening?
Well, everywhere. And there's on our Facebook page, which is California Alliance for Animal Owners' Rights. If you just Google that on Facebook, put that in on Facebook, California Alliance for Animal Owners' Rights,
mm-hmm.
then you'll find some posts at the top of the Facebook page that show the animal massage laws and by state and also scope of practice by state. And basically, there's a number of states where acupuncture, chiropractic, and dentistry is already illegal.
Mm.
Most of them, really. And there's also a number of states that have physical therapies illegal unless done by a vet, massage, artificial insemination,
acupressure,
applied kinesiology. Sue was talking about how low-cost vaccine clinics are grooming. What was that about low-cost vaccine clinics, Sue?
Yeah, low-cost vaccine clinics are abolished in Arizona.
What?
Because it requires a full physical exam before you vaccinate. So, you know, it's like I work for some low-cost, and actually I operate some low-cost vaccination clinics in California. And, you know, people are always thanking us so much for doing this because they can't afford $100 to vaccinate their dog. That's like their yearly budget for vet care.
Totally.
And that's just the vaccine. And whereas, you know, for, you know, a fraction of that, we can get it done, and they can all be legal and their animals protected.
Well, that's what scares me is that, you know, okay, so if, you know, my vet vaccines are, I don't know, you know, $80, we'll just say that. And then wait, no, you have to have an exam first, and the exam is $100. So now it's $180. There's a lot of people that are not going to be taking their domestic pets to the vet in order to keep them up.
Right.
And the vet board has not taken that into account. Mm. They act like that's not even an issue. And it's a huge issue. People are economically strapped throughout the state.
Totally.
The drought, among other things.
Oh, yeah.
To have this kind of triple the cost to have what they now can get with lay practitioners?
Mm.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, here's a good example. In Alabama, animal psychology is regulated by and described as medicine.
Oh, so come on.
So you can't do animal psychology in Alabama unless you're a vet.
So, wow. Okay.
Oh, that's also in Arkansas.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, if you look at that scope of practice, it's crazy what they're saying is illegal. But,
yeah.
I mean, things like grooming, like doing dog's nails could be, in one state, I can't remember where it is, it's illegal now.
Great.
You can't do that unless you're a vet.
So a vet, and a nail trim is going to go from $10 to $50 because some poor vet's going to get dragged out of another exam room in order to clip,
No, they can have their staff do it, but it's not going to be what a groomer charges.
No. No,
it'll be at least twice, if not, you know, 4 to 5 times more.
Easily. Well, we need to take a quick break. I'm talking to Marta Williams and Sue Chan all about the California Alliance for Animal Owners' Rights. We'll be back in about a minute and a half.
Hello out there, it's Steve Jenkins, I'm with Fairway Markets. White Leghorn, Red Wattle, Bourbon Red, Navajo Churro. Well, these aren't names you're likely to hear at a Fairway butcher counter or any other counter today, but before the rise of factory farming, you would have. And at Heritage Foods USA, you still do. Heritage Foods USA exists to promote genetic diversity, small family farms, and a fully traceable food supply. You see, we believe the best way to help a family farmer is to buy from them. And Heritage Foods is honored to represent a network of family farmers and artisanal producers whose work presents an immeasurable gift to our food system and to biodiversity. The meat we celebrate, whether it's heritage turkey, Japanese steaks, Berkshire pork, or Navajo churro lamb chops, is the righteous kind from healthy animals of sound genetics that have been treated humanely and allowed to pursue their natural instincts. It's a simple fact. Animals raised according to this philosophy taste better. And as we like to say, you have to eat them to save them. Visit us at heritagefoodsusa.com for more information.
And we're back. I'm talking to Sue Chan and Marta Williams all about the California Alliance for Animal Owners' Rights. Sue, as a vet, what do vets think about this?
A lot of vets actually think it's great.
Awesome.
They think that they know everything there is to know about animal health, and their knowledge is superior to others.
Great.
Other vets like me, I totally respect people who have knowledge that I don't have. I learn a lot from them, and we think these regulations are crazy. But a lot of vets won't say anything because they see the vet board as just way too powerful to go against.
And, like, who are these people that make up this vet board?
The vet board is made up, there's seven people on the vet board. Four of them are veterinarians, three are veterinarians, one's an RVT. The other three are just people in the public.
Okay.
Who are lay people.
And they're appointed by the governor, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's government appointees.
They're appointed anyway.
Hmm.
Yeah, they might. I think some are recommended by legislators as well.
Right, but that's right. There are two recommended by the legislature. Yeah.
Wow.
But there's nobody on there representing alternative complementary practitioners or clients who take their animals to vets.
Fancy that, you know. It would make it a lot more difficult if they were, Marta. Well, the consequences for people that are trying to use alternative therapies and things like that, are the clients and the practitioners getting fined, or is it just the practitioners that are getting in trouble?
Just the practitioners.
Okay. Not that I don't know if that makes any
difference. Although veterinarians, as a veterinarian, if I were to refer somebody to an alternative practitioner,
mm-hmm.
I could get fined because that's aiding and abetting the illegal
practice of
veterinary medicine. And that's stated right in their code.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's on the CVMA.org website.
And
if you want the scope of practice for all over the U.S.,
mm-hmm.
you can go to the AVMA.org website.
Okay, cool.
But I have that also posted on the California Alliance for Animal Owners Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find it on our website, which is the acronym is CALAOR
mm-hmm. .com or .org?
.com.
Okay, cool. And so, Marta, I mean, you know, like, for example, myself and you, like, many of us are practitioners and we're licensed, and we went through these, like, really hardcore, vigorous trainings. And so all our certifications will basically be null and void in states that have taken on this ruling?
I think that is a definite possibility. I know one thing I wanted to point out that happened in a couple states is that the vet board, in terms of massage, the vet board said, okay, we'll pick this one school, and you're going to be approved, and all the other massage schools aren't going to be approved.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that happened in two states so far.
Are they decent massage schools?
That's a little, you know, landmine waiting to go off, and
yeah.
That's not a good situation. We don't want that situation. I think the point here is if people want to have licensing and insurance and that kind of thing, they can do that within their industry.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to turn to the vet board to do some kind of draconian, you know, regulation
yeah.
of these industries. They can regulate themselves, and they do very well. And I think one of the other things that needs to be said at this point is that with regard to human medicine,
mm-hmm.
chiropractors, acupuncturists, you don't have to, in California, you don't have to go to a physician to be able to then go to a chiropractor.
Mm-hmm.
And you can take your child to a chiropractor without having to consult your physician or get a referral or have a physician present.
Mm-hmm.
So what on earth possible reasoning would there be for you to have to do that with your animal?
It's a great question. It's a great question. And I mean, when I first was talking about doing this interview with Allison Robbins, thank you. You're the reason we got this going. So really appreciate it, girl. Is that, you know, I was expecting it to be all about the pharmaceutical companies. You know, I was just expecting it to be big pharma coming on in going, no, you can't use this, you can't use that. And it doesn't really sound like big pharma. I mean, they may, but it doesn't sound like they're the driving force on this.
No, not at all. It's the veterinarians. In vet school, they're taught that they are the pinnacle of the knowledge, and I've seen it. And I used to face all sorts of derision because
mm-hmm.
I would sort of bring up ideas that weren't, you know, based on what they consider real medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's pretty sad. Oh, I just found out. I was looking it up. Mississippi. Calls nutraceutical therapy veterinary medicine.
Oh, come on.
Right, there are a couple states that regulate any kind of nutrition or nutrition therapy as having to be done by a vet only.
God. So this is going to be like simple products. Of course, I can't think of any at this moment, but, you know, oh, my God, like simple lysine for cats that you can buy at the pet store if your cat has a herpes in the eyes and stuff as a preventative. You're not going to be able to get that anymore then.
Possibly.
Well, no, nobody can tell you about it.
Oh, good point.
Nobody would be able to tell you to get it.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It can be on the shelf, but nobody can tell you what it's for, right?
So this is basically like we're going back to like the Dark Ages with three witches in the middle of the forest that go and heal people, you know, and it's all super. Yeah. This is nuts.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just, you know, it's all the legalese type mentality where you can't really do medicine or you have to tiptoe around everything.
And like Big Brother, you know, watching over and everybody being in fear of being discovered and that kind of thing.
That it has to be pulled. So if the dentist says anything, he can get in trouble.
My God.
So he can whisper to the vet, it needs to be pulled, and the vet can say it. But you know, God forbid the dentist say anything.
This is like, oh, my God, this is like some, like king court, like, hierarchy BS from the
1700s. Has no I'm waiting for the people to say something.
I mean, really, it's like, are you a witch? You know, I feel like we're getting to this point. Wow. I mean, I really appreciate what you guys are doing regarding this and talking to you about it. I mean, I really was expecting to get a lot of clarification.
One thing I want to add before we run out of time.
Oh, yeah, please.
Is that the fix that we have come up with, idea, is to do what was done for people in 2002 by Senator Burton in California. He passed a bill, SB 577, and it basically says, you know, as long as the person is not doing medicine, like surgery, diagnosing, doing prescribed drugs, et cetera, then you sign a waiver, and they keep that waiver on file. You sign a release waiver, and you can go do whatever you want, chiropractic, acupuncture, have fun. And that's what we want to have implemented for animals. Fine, we're not going to do surgery. We're not going to do diagnosis.
Yeah.
We're not going to do, you know, what else, Sue? Prescribed drugs, et cetera. But after that, stay out of our bedroom. Let us do what we want. We'll sign a waiver that says we're releasing you of liability, vet board, and go away. People can go sue in civil court if they have a problem with a layperson practitioner.
I mean, that makes the most sense of anything that we've discussed tonight.
And that's what they did in Illinois. And it seems to be working okay in Illinois. Illinois and Connecticut, both people fought in those two states. All the other states, people didn't really fight. But in Illinois and Connecticut, they did, and that's what they got.
This is killing me that it happened in Connecticut. Like, I didn't even know it was on this coast.
Yes. So that's what we have to do in California. They left California for last.
You're kidding.
No, because they knew there was a lot of, you know, people who like their alternative.
Yeah, totally.
Modalities here.
I am just, wow. I'm just, that's what really kills me is how quiet this has all been. You know?
Yeah, and there's at least 21 million people in California using some kind of complementary alternative, you know,
wow,
modality, and they don't know. People do not know. So one thing that has to happen is people need to get the word out. It's a big secret.
Unbelievable. Well, it's easier to get past if nobody has a effing clue, but I mean, then all of a sudden you wake up one day and, you know, get hauled off because you took your dog to daycare where they have a swimming pool and the dog's having a swim and all of a sudden it's hydrotherapy, you know? Like, that's what scares me too, is that how, you know, if it's going to be really broad, you know, it's so broad that anything you do could actually be like, you know, like washing a horse with a hose. No, that's hydrotherapy. No, that's a bath.
Right.
You know what I mean?
The sad part is they don't even send out warning letters. They do stings. That's their whole big thing, you know. It's like, oh, let's do a sting. I've seen it because I worked for the vet board.
God, I mean, with all due respect, don't these guys have something better to do?
Nope. Apparently not. Yeah, it's amazing what the mentality that goes on in these boards. It's really kind of sad. But
it almost makes me feel like it's a bunch of people that just really hate animals.
Well, they
or
like
hate alternative
really important.
Practitioners.
Yeah, that too. That's a really good point.
Hello.
Power thing. You know, we're going to do it because we can.
Exactly.
And so, it's like actually, in my experience, a lot of them, the compassionate care of the animal is a secondary. They'll push owners into doing really expensive treatments, even though the animals are suffering from it. So.
My God.
The kind of prices that people are paying for vet treatments, I mean, $8,000, $10,000,
$20,000?
Who has that?
Yeah, don't look at me.
That's one of the reasons people go holistic and go alternative, because it works and it's cheaper.
And that's what breaks my heart, too, because, I mean, I've had so many clients going, you know, we've tried to deal with this for so many years, and thank you so much because of, you know, a couple little things. We've been able to, like, increase the quality of life for this pet and save themselves a fortune in the process.
Right.
And it sounds good to me.
Yeah, it's called preventive care. But, you know, preventive care is considered veterinary medicine now.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
But it comes down to, too, the question, why should I be able to take my child to a chiropractor, but my animal, you know, chiropractor, can only work on my animal if I pay a vet to be present, and why should I have to go to the trouble to haul my horse to a veterinarian and pay outrageous vet prices to get a massage from a vet who couldn't probably ever hope to be as good as my current horse body worker is.
Totally, because that's the thing, too, is like everybody specializes in their one thing, so they're really, really specialized, and they know what's going on. You know, you can't take 20 years, 10 years of experience off of someone or get someone in who's green who's just got their certification.
Right.
There's no way.
Yeah, they'd be throwing all that out the window.
Wow.
We actually have a draft bill. We're actually going to the legislators to try to get it through, and if people want to help,
yes, please.
I can go into that whenever.
Yeah, I want to make sure that, like, let's do that now. I mean, what can our listeners do to help?
Well, we do have a petition, an online petition, and we need it signed. It's really important for as many, you know, we need millions of people signing that thing.
Okay.
So that's on the Facebook page and the website. And if people want to get involved and help with lobbying legislators, I mean, it would be great if somebody's a lobbyist and wants to volunteer their time. We need help that way.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who knows a legislator who might be friendly to this idea, we need to get a legislator to sponsor a bill, and then we need to promote a bill and get it through Congress, through the legislature, and passed so that all of this will be irrelevant. It will be null and void.
Wow.
We'd also like to get organizations like associations, professional associations, horse associations, livestock, pet
mm-hmm.
owners, trainers, all those
clubs, groups
to sign on as a group.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need them to they can email us at office@calore.com.
Okay.
And say, yes, include my name when you go to the legislators, say that I support this.
And so is it okay if our listeners contact you guys if they have any questions or if they might have any tips or know some people? Is that cool?
Of course.
Okay.
The best way is to contact us through the website address.
Perfect.
Email address, which is office@calaor.com.
Perfect.
And that's the website, calaor.com. Cal, like Cal Fire.
Yep.
And then AAOR is California Alliance for Animal Owner Rights.
Perfect.
.com.
And it's a really good site. It's really clear. It's very concise. It reads well. I really liked it, and it was nice because it got me a lot of answers where in many cases there aren't. So, I mean, thank you both for taking the time and fighting this fight, because it just sounds like there aren't a lot of people doing it because nobody knows about it.
Yeah, and just want to add that it is on hold right now because they're trying to figure out. I think the Vet Board didn't expect there to be so much backlash. But, like, in September, a bunch of people found out about this and started going, wait a minute, this
Good.
Is not okay.
Good.
It's been snowballing since then, you know.
Good.
More and more people are finding out and going, wait a minute, this is not, we don't want to go this way. And so they're kind of trying to, I think they're trying to get everything, you know, tight.
Mm-hmm.
battened down because they didn't realize that they were going to have a fight.
How do you not? I mean, like, really? You know, come on. That's the part. I'm like, is there?
They could flip it by, I guess.
Exactly.
Well, because they had success in the past with all these other old practitioners, you know, and it's really kind of sad that they've hurt a lot of people in the process.
Yes.
But they weren't, you know,
organized.
They haven't.
Unbelievable.
You know, united to fight it because they're such small groups.
Yeah.
But I think it's the owners that need to get together and say, we don't want to
totally
messing with our services anymore, especially when it's going to, the way they've defined it, it could, you know, it's like even groomers, if they see a sore on an animal and they put salve on it, that could be considered medicine.
I mean, this is insane.
Right, or a farrier, maybe they wouldn't say no farriers, but they could say, well, a farrier can't address an abscess,
yeah,
only a vet can do that.
Yep.
Or even
so then, if your farrier finds an abscess,
you know,
and works on it without calling the vet,
right,
they could get fined $10,000, told to cease and desist, and
oh
be put
God
in jail.
Oh, my God. And meanwhile,
just
this is what they've been trained
on an abscess
for.
Because the vet board has now decided that any abscess in a horse's foot has to be handled by a vet, not a farrier.
Boy, they would have been pissed off at my barn when I was a kid when we had 12 to 16-year-olds working on soaking abscesses and poultices and things like that, you know?
Okay, there is one exception. If you do stuff for free, they don't regulate it. Anybody who does something for you for free, they can't regulate it because it doesn't come under the purview of the
interesting
business and commerce, yeah.
Interesting.
So I think that's how some people are flying under the radar. They, you know, they trade services.
Yep.
Or under the table or whatever.
Or they take donations or cash only or whatever,
right,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but all it takes is, and that's the other thing, is enforcement would be very variable. So all it takes is one disgruntled person to turn you in.
Totally, and you're done.
You're dead.
Oh, my God.
Actually, it's usually a veterinarian.
Nice.
These people. It's not the clients.
Nice. That's awesome. That's good to work together like that. You know, it's my God. You know, it's a real shame. And it's I really thank you guys because, I mean, this has to be such an incredibly frustrating fight and for sticking to your guns and, you know, taking the time and coming on this show. And I will do whatever I can to help you guys get the word out. I'm more than glad to help. So please keep in touch. I mean, if there's anything I can do, man, I will be more than glad to do it because this is going to affect all of us. It already has affected you guys. Apparently it's affected me too. I didn't even know about it. So, you know, surprise, happy Monday. Yeah. So, you know, it's whatever we can do, let's do it. And let's try to spread the word more. Sadly, we're out of time, but thank you guys again. I've learned so much and I'm totally angry and totally freaked out now. Thanks to both of you guys, but at least I'm caught
up. Sorry about that, but thank you so much for having us on and helping get the word out.
Me, yeah, totally. And I mean, you know, for what you guys have been doing and it's been so tireless, like fight the fight, ladies, because we need you bad. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And for the rest of you guys, I will be back next week with a new show. Thank you so much for listening. Check out their website. Check out our homepage. I'm on Twitter as The Food Healer. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.